Welcome to Hazzard County. Waylon Jennings tells the story of the Dukes of Hazzard starting Friday, January 26th.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You see how he did that right before we went to the intro today? See how he put it all on me?
That's what reminded me.
So
it's
like a cuckoo clock. When you say, still waiting on new music, I'll say, still waiting on hair.
Wow. I know you do look like, you know, yes. I caught an episode of The Love Boat yesterday.
Yes.
And when I saw
was
Meryl
Streep.
Was
the Gavin McLeod thing legit? I think it was completely
legit. Yeah, it is very,
legit.
Very legit.
Well,
hey,
sorry.
We're still waiting for music was to set the tone so you don't get upset as soon as it pops up. It was
to admit, you say still waiting for music and then you turn off our mics and our video.
Yes.
So he can't reply to it.
I know. Yeah. He's funny that way. Well, yes.
It's more of I press the button and it takes about 30 seconds, it seems, to load sometimes. So I just talked after pressing the button. Then it just cuts you off when it
wants. Talking about the manic, very loud intro to the show, which is a work in progress. I think we can all agree on that. It's a work in progress.
Yes.
So we're gonna get to that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for the beginning of the week. Monday. Hey. God, so much going on in the world right now. We have a big fat news because there's weird stuff going on in the world. There's weather stuff going on in the world. And I'm very conscious because we go all over this fine country and the world for that matter to not really complain about my weather situation. And I think, Rob, you can relate now being in South Florida. When I wake
Mike,
up and the house is 69 degrees, I'm like, oh my God, what's happening outside?
I literally put on a hoodie today.
Yes.
In Miami. You know,
right. It's the whole eastern seaboard all the way from Florida all the way through. We'll get to that in the news with the big blizzard that's happening everywhere.
Yeah, the weather down here seems to favor pleasant. This I've noticed.
Yeah, well, it was absolutely, at least where on my side of the state, it was a glorious weekend. But I don't I hesitate to say that because it will really, this is the time of year and the reason why people that are in their 80s come down here because this is the time of year where it is the greatest disparity usually between the upper tier and the peninsula down here. That's when it's a big difference. So people,
I had lots of people sending me messages about, well, it's snowing outside, but baseball's on the TV. It doesn't make sense. And I just respond to everyone, you live up north. That happens every year.
Yep.
We will get to the Josh Soroka world of sporting reports, and I will have a contributing
spanning the
factor,
globe, Mike.
Spanning the globe.
Yeah. But into one city.
I thought I would start with some stuff that I popped over to Josh over the weekend, and the first is sports. It's very much on the mind with the Olympics and baseball and just sports in general. We talk a lot of sports on this show. There's a comedian that I see pop up on my feed on a regular basis. His name is Henry Cho. I haven't had the opportunity to see him personally.
Do you know what? He was really good friends or is really good friends with Washington Redskin footnote Matt Elliott. They were buddies.
Henry Cho is a funny guy.
Very funny man, yes.
It just, really, really rolls with the punches. This is... this is a clip from Henry Cho. It's about kids and sports. And
just Georgia, sports. You play sports?
Daughter dances.
Dance? So, no. That's an activity.
It's pitiful.
Not a sport. I'm sure it is now. Probably letter in it. Sports have gone too far, man. Kids sports. I don't know what to do anymore. I coached Jackson's baseball and basketball teams back when he was younger. You know, we won a few games, never won a championship, but he has 7 trophies. Just for showing up. I'll never get that last season. Trophies came to the house. I threw them away. My wife goes, funny. What are you doing? I go, somebody's put a stop to this. She goes, you have to give those out. I go, I'm not doing it. Last game, we got beat 18-2. They could care less. They just lined up for their trophies. I'm like, hey, Coach Cho, where's our trophies? I go, you know what? You don't get one this year. It's like, why not? Well, because you're a loser. Now put your helmet on and get out of here.
Everybody thinks so.
Go get your snack. Who started snacks? I don't snack my entire childhood. Pre-game, halftime, post-game, orange slices, gotta have orange slices. There's a snack list. I didn't know that existed until my first practice. After my very first practice, I told all the parents we're not having snacks. Yeah. This mom ran me down in the parking lot and goes, we have to have snacks. Can I have a snack list? I said, we're not having snacks, ma'am. No, we're going to have snacks. Jeremy can't play a whole game without a snack. Jeremy needs a snack or Jeremy can't play a little game. I'm like, well, Jeremy's not that good. He will never play a whole game. Won't you all eat at home and come late? How about that, huh?
That's enough of that. Oh, my God. Henry Cho is a funny man.
So and all that all stuff it. So true,
We all God, think that. Yes. You know, I'm glad that you know, my son now is at a level a little older than that where they don't dwell on it. But we still have the
But they still
factor,
get the trophies.
And they still get trophies. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they don't. You know, at least in my kids' travel team, they don't. If they lose, they're going home.
Yes.
That's that drives
that
it home more than anything else.
I figured out a way to get out of snack duty. Is when Robert was playing basketball, whenever we were assigned snacks, I brought steak tartare, and the kids hated it.
Is so there a waterfall behind
no, it's,
you?
It's the green screen.
No, it's a water feature.
It looks it as though in Rob's living room,
yeah,
there is a water feature coming out of the wall.
Yeah. It's yeah. like the it's like
let
the
me,
jungle
let me
room.
Expand
yeah.
it so
right right down the fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I mean we're in Florida. We don't need a fire.
What a beautiful home you've moved to down in Miami, Rob.
You know, it's funny, over the weekend, Mike, I did take the time. My father's sofa was looking beat up, so I bought him this 190-inch sofa.
That's so and, nice. Yeah.
It actually you can't see the end of it. It goes out the front door. That's it does beautiful. Not fit in the condo.
It's beautiful.
And also, this is the only condominium in Miami.
Is he ever going to get it? That is too funny. That is so funny. Up at the side, I expanded it, and it's just like the worst green screen I have ever seen in my life. It's like half the picture is disintegrating as we speak right now.
No,
do you
problem.
Help him before the show
yes,
at all?
Yes.
Do you assist
Here's,
him?
Mike. We planned it for this.
Ah, there we go.
Yes.
That's better. That's better.
But when we go to play the video, yes. we have to see the part that the green yes. screen doesn't yeah. cover.
You know what?
Niagara.
You know what I love? I love the fact that it's a work in progress. I do. I love that every day is a new adventure.
I love
I
the fact
that.
That this is the only condo in Miami that has 15-foot vaulted ceilings.
Yeah. Very. And, hey, I bet there's some that do.
The stairs.
I bet there's some that do, pal.
Yeah.
I bet not, there's certain of those high-rises
oh,
you go
right.
to
yeah.
that have... You know, mucho ceilingo, right?
Not a lot of it in this condo area, Mike.
Not
a lot
in that community.
No. Have you ever been to the back of a shoe store and seen the way they stack up the boxes? That's this
works.
Condo. Yeah, yeah.
Go find Kevin O'Leary's condo.
Is Kevin O'Leary a Miami, guy?
He's a Miami guy.
I thought I saw him at Publix. Yes.
Dick. Cries at watches. The other thing I want to share.
That was a little Jackie Stallone-ish.
Got a cup. Yeah. You know, cries at watches.
Cries at watches.
So deal with that. Crying at watches. The Olympics wrapped up. I have very, very, like everybody else, heaping praise on Mr. Mike Tirico, who is
Don't
the best
tell me
the
about
business.
The hockey game. I taped it.
You taped it on your VCR?
Right. Yeah, I taped the men's hockey and the women's hockey. And so I have those to watch
By the
today.
Way,
so please, no spoilers.
I will cop to being a self-loathing liberal. And part of me with both the men and the women defeating Canada.
Yeah.
You know, there was just a little bit of a pang of, you know, not with the way
better
that
again.
With the way our president has treated Canada, our beautiful, blessed neighbors to the north. There was part of me that felt bad for Canada. I think that's okay.
Well, I
think
assume
they're part of North America. I like Canadians.
Out of context clues, I'm going to guess that we won.
We beat the men and the women beat Canada for the gold medal. Both gold medal matches were the USA and Canada, and overtime wins in both cases.
A lot of people are going to think this is great for the USA, but I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because this is going to cause unrest up north, and this will escalate.
Are you
the
still doing the same? They're massing on the board. This will enhance the attack that you said is imminent.
Yes, because now this will be great for getting up morale for all those Canadian heathens.
Or Josh, he's been saying there's going to be an attack from the Great
Josh,
White North.
99% of all Canadians live within 14 feet of the border.
That's an accident. He thinks it's because of the
they're ready to go. They're ready to go. Here they come. Yeah. And
it's Mike Tirico, guess where they get their jobs?
Being heaped with praise. For the Olympic coverage, and I watched his monologue specifically was really, really terrific, just talking about sports, because in my humble opinion, you know, that does bring us together. Sporting events do bring us together. We can kind of throw everything out that is so horrible, and for a moment we can focus on that. And I think that Josh and I will probably talk a little about spring training baseball. I have found that there is a much different vibe at spring training than there was even a year ago, that it is truly, I feel, like baseball has a bit of a resurgence. So maybe that's because
I am seeing larger crowds.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big time. Huge crowd yesterday.
Do you think
at JetBlue.
Somebody is responsible for making baseball great again?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Thumbs up to Mike Tirico, and
he's a nice guy too. I mean, there's nothing
great
to not
guy,
to like about him.
But I will tell you that I think it's motivating many, many Americans to pursue their Olympic dreams. And you don't have to be in the Olympic Village to do that. There is a woman out there that I think you got to keep your eyes on her, because she is going to be something really special in the Olympics. Let's take a look at this this video. I think you're going to enjoy this.
We have Brianne Howery. Singles ice dance.
Oh, music.
So the movement shows that dance background very nicely. A little stumble there. It's okay. She'll gain her momentum leading into the single.
I love this.
Going for it. Oh, yes.
I like the white boots.
Good.
I do too. I like the sound of the boots.
Oh, looks right at the camera.
She's
That's
so
extra
happy.
Points.
Okay, look at her on her knee.
Might
you
explain
don't
why Canada lost.
Oh, that's right. She's Canadian, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful hold. Beautiful. That'll get the judges' attention. This is a big one.
Oh, here comes her finisher.
Nailed it.
That's great.
Bell and reversal. Can you do this?
This filled me with great joy.
Spin like that.
Good finisher. Oh, so close.
I had to look at the camera.
Oh, six God, spin. Love her.
And so the big funny. Finish. Oh, another six spin. That should get her tons across the board.
Yay!
Wow.
Yay.
A very supportive husband.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. That
very
is,
supportive floor.
Now,
maybe double supported.
There you go. See,
what?
Then you'd send the letters to Rob for the fat shaming.
I never said she was heavy. I'm just saying that
you said supportive floor. That
well for
that,
the
you
boots.
Know.
You're not supposed to wear those boots inside.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for covering
for
him.
What they're doing is they're trying to simulate ice.
By the way, all Rob's faux pas today can be chalked up to a difficult time that he's going through. He gets complete free pass, at least from this broadcaster.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Let's move on to I caught Rogan, and I think Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, mega podcasters, they both strike me, and you guys might know more about it than I do. I don't watch them regularly, but I get the impression that both of these guys are not averse to having a new experience with some sort of substance. Would that be accurate, right?
I mean, the impression I get is that, yeah.
There's a little druggy in both of those guys. And the one time I turned on Rogan, he was doing a little smelling salts thing. And I was never aware.
Smelling salts.
That's from the 1930s, isn't it? Yeah, but hold on.
No, it's coming back.
It's coming back. And apparently, my thought about smelling salts are from movies, from television, from maybe a boxing match or whatever, where you just do this and the guys kind of wake up. I didn't realize that if you do a real intense smelling salt experiment, which I'm not going to do. I've got another experimental item that someone shipped me, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but it's fermented tofu.
Oh, speaking I know what I would do with that. I would send it right to Canada. Yeah,
that sounds like smelling salt.
Yeah, let's get back to smelling salts, Mike.
Smelling salts are, they can really mess you up a little bit, and we have an example of that. Roll the smelling salts, our last video.
Smelling salts. I've been seeing this all over TikTok. I'm excited to try it. I am jazzed about this.
Boy, I bet she's got a miserable husband.
I feel like this is going to be a good time. So I'm getting ready to go work out. It says shake it. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Sharon Bailey.
I'm going to take a big whiff. I'm not going to be a little pansy about it.
No, don't be a pansy. Is she retching?
She's retching.
Yeah, that's bad.
She's gagging. Yeah. She's not happy.
Where's that enthusiasm now, honey? Honey?
That looks like it might be a painful reaction.
Yeah.
Well, because you're not supposed to take a big whiff.
You're not.
No.
She did.
And also, you're not supposed to if you're conscious.
Don't do that.
That's my favorite part. Don't do that. Don't do that. Hey.
I like the change of the mood.
Oh, my God. Anyway, you know, it's a big wide world out there, and we appreciate her.
Great, big, wonderful world, Mike,
for the team. But getting back to Mike Tirico with the Olympics.
Did you see him with the smelling salts?
Yeah, fantastic segment when he was doing that.
Yeah.
Occasionally someone gets praise who really deserves it. And Mike Tirico, not only the hardest working sportscaster in the business, but a guy that, I don't know, it's kind of a tradition with great, great, great play-by-play guy and sportscasters that they use an economy of words. And I think that Tirico has done that, and he did a great job and upheld the tradition of great broadcasters at the Olympics, starting with Jim McKay.
I was going to say Jim McKay has that beautiful, his whole notion of fewer words, the better. Fantastic.
And it made me regret that I hadn't enjoy the Olympics more, although I did enjoy the men's hockey game because, you know, an overtime hockey when there's nothing quite like it. And I just really just if he hasn't gotten the credit he deserves yet, he's got it now because he really got the thumbs up and want to say salute to a guy that I've had a chance to hang out with a little bit, Mike Tirico, and one of my favorite guys in sports.
I think it's unfair because people are so busy complaining against Chris Collinsworth and the like that they don't spotlight the people that are good at their job.
Yeah.
And I mean, Collinsworth is insultingly bad. He bothers me.
Well, I think what Chris Collinsworth and a lot of the NFL analysts that are on the NFL broadcast are exceedingly verbose. And I think that they shutting up is so, silence is so powerful in sports, not just with the great moments, but sometimes you just, John Madden, I go back again to the analysis where if he was in a game that was a blowout and they'd show a shot of a pigeon on the sidelines, they'd say, this telecast isn't interesting. Let's do something that'll make Madden start to entertain.
Yeah.
And he loved doing it. Mm-hmm. And he realized that this, I think we completely forget about professional sports, that it is entertainment first.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing it for. They're not doing it for any other reason. Go ahead, Josh.
Do you think it's also that the audio has improved where we get great sound now on the ice or on the field?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that even more, you can just tone it down a little bit. But you've got broadcasters that are former players, mm-hmm. and their competitive nature lends itself to, I think, trying as hard as they can, and in many cases, trying too hard. And it used to be, I would love to see it. This is just wishful thinking on my part. I would love to see it move from the area of detailed, I know so much about each player and each offense and each defense and each batting lineup and each statistic. I would love to see it move into the realm of, I am an entertainer, and I want to keep this broadcast as entertaining as I can, not forcing the issue, but just really just kind of reacting to what the camera is showing the audience. You know what I mean?
Hearing what you're saying, I'm reminded mostly, I think, of Vin Scully, because he could carry an entire baseball game.
Another play-by-play guy, not an analyst. Yeah, but Vin Scully, great example. And from a great pedigree with old broadcasters.
And if a game was slow, he could effortlessly launch into a story. I remember one time he went into like a five-minute story about the Beatles getting on and off the field in a paddy wagon in that stadium. It was at Shea Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Or the mm-hmm. old Shea Stadium. And he'd stop just in time to give you the call. But it was a slow game, so he had to do something to pick it up.
Right.
He, for lack of a better word, he would weave the broadcast, and it mm-hmm. was just so listenable.
Yeah.
And sometimes silence is part of that. And they got to know
I feel
that.
Like traditionally baseball has done a better job of that
yeah.
than other
because
sports
of because of the way nature. The game meanders along. As far as my own sports are concerned, I had a moment, if you will, call it a pity party. Where I wrote this down that I hate my joints. I'm basically, it started with my hips. It's gone to.
Oh, I was going to tell you.
It probably started with my knees. It probably started with my knees. I mean, I'm essentially checking off each joint that fails.
Well,
in
what
my
joints?
Body.
What joints do you have, and which are made of corpses, and which are made of metal?
The knee, right knee.
Yeah.
Would be a cadaver ACL that was installed. Now, that is my fault.
Why?
Because the injury was a result of falling on my part. So it was not something where wear and tear. The hips, bone on bone, and that was just my genetic makeup. I've looked at the MRIs. I've seen that there's, you know, that it was bone on bone, and I'm happy. I've been happy since they installed them in my
body. Back to the knee, Josh. What you don't know is Mike at that time was going to what they call a very special, almost concierge style doctor, and he was actually allowed to choose the corpse. It's very much like going into the Palm restaurant and choosing your lobster.
Well, and that's why,
and
Josh,
that was the problem.
It might not mean anything to you, but I have in my right knee Milton Berle's ACL joint.
And see, that's your problem. You went with a cadaver ACL instead of a young boy.
That sounds a little creepy.
Wow.
Right
well, send letters to that.
A young boy. God, that's terrible.
You need a much younger ACL.
No, my ACL.
But it has
fine.
To be full size or he'll walk in circles.
By the way, to date, I have not looked back on that incident and that surgery. Although I will quote the doctor because I will always remember Dr. Madden, believe it or not. Not John Madden.
I said, doctor.
Madden came in, another big man like me, and I swear to God, this was the quote. I've got some good news. I knew him very well. We got to know each other and had a pretty fun relationship. So when he said this, you'll like my response. He said, well, I have some good news and some bad news. And I went, F you. I said, just get to the point. He said, the good news is, and he points to the screen and says, this is one of the best MRI pictures I have I've ever seen. And then he says, the bad news, you see that little curly Q right there? And he points to it. I said, yeah. He said, that's what's left of your ACL.
Wow.
So that was done. Then the back where it is
called.
Yeah,
but it's not fake, is it? I mean, you have nothing put in your back, did you?
No, they couldn't. Even if they wanted it, I certainly might have taken advantage of it. But they call it degenerative disc disease. Discs are those soft little pieces of cartilage between your spine joints.
Yeah.
Your vertebra. And
vertebrae.
So that means there's very little of that. I've managed that with one surgery and some injections, and so far they say that they kind of naturally fuse together when you get really old, and I'm getting really old, so that's
so when you went to helpful. your back to the concierge doctor, didn't he use
why do you keep saying concierge doctor?
Because he gives you special treatment.
Why are you doing that golden boy stuff to me? All right,
no, I'm not saying it's a golden boy. I'm just saying that it gives you more options. Like, I remember one of your options was to put pieces of carpet remnants in between your vertebrae to soften.
Didn't work.
And
it was
didn't
a
work.
New technology.
It was new.
Well, I thought it was the carpet when, in fact, it was the stuff between the carpet, the foam.
You don't want that.
So
no.
that's been okay.
Yeah.
And the knee's been okay. And then the knees, because of after that surgery, the only area that was holding out was the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, now this one right here is starting, I guess, to go.
Yeah.
And I need to get some help because it affects my number one hobby down here, which is eating ice cream of all things.
No.
My number one hobby. And I know that it's a complicated joint.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's a spikely joint. I know that it is... It's just, I thought maybe one area of my body I could avoid, doing it. And some might say, well, Mike, if you were more physically fit, perhaps you could avoid this. Well, that ship might
have
sailed.
Is it that bone-on-bone feeling, or is it a muscle strain?
That's the thing. I feel like it might be rotator cuff related, but I don't know enough about it to tell. The bottom line is I am about a minute away from picking up the phone and having to go to a guy. And I don't want to go to a guy. I've been trying to get by with watching videos, and it's just
now,
not
do you think,
cutting the mustard.
If it happens, will shoulder be corpse related? Will it be hardware related, or will it be injection related?
I hope right now, if you told me I could go into the, to the service station and get
going
an injection
to Wally's?
ASAP. Yeah, that's
go get
what
a cortisone
I would
shot.
Go with first. But I know it's. I'm thinking they're going to say they need to look at it, with an X-ray or a
MRI. Do you think it has?
I hate it. And this time of year, it's like the Walking Dead down here. Okay, with all due respect,
do you think it has anything to do with all the years you wore that shoulder holster?
I think it has to do with the game I love, Rob.
Okay.
It has to do with that.
And nothing about misspent youth or anything?
Yeah. Well, I think the alcohol ingestion over the years probably hasn't done anything to enhance my joints,
It probably numbs them a bit.
Would you like to know the pity party last night was?
Yeah.
Look, there are people that have it much worse than I do. Of course there are. Are there people that, are dealing with physical issues and stuff? Of course, I know. I just share some of the things I'm dealing with on this. And it's not that big a deal, okay?
But
last night the pity party was, well, another day, another area. And it
were
just
you
gets to a point where
outwardly
pain,
doing
pain
the pity
sucks. What
did you were did like Carla hear you bemoaning and pitying yourself?
I
or
actually
was this
said it to her right before bed. I
was that
at her
a mistake?
Said, no, she was cool with it. She was supportive. Right. One of the rare times, and she she looked at me. I said, "I just feel like it never ends." And really, if I think about what in previous years older people have said to me, this is just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reality of aging. This is the reality of what people deal with. And if you are, you happen to be active in anything, this is the situation sometimes you can experience. Some people don't. Some people are much
My
more.
My shoulders feel great.
Do your shoulders feel good?
No, actually they don't. But I don't know why.
Your shoulders don't feel good?
No, nothing feels good on me.
Well, hold on a second. You are about 10 years shy of me.
Yeah,
right?
12.
12 years shy of me, and so you are 54?
I will be 55, Mike, as you know, birthday season is coming up.
You'll be 55 in March when, in fact, you will be you're very close to 10 years shy of me. 11 years shy of me.
My shoulders, it's a chiropractor issue. It's not because of, you know, like a wear and tear from sports, obviously.
I don't want to be a doomsayer, but get ready for the journey. Because it just...
I'm on a journey.
And by the way, we have boomers. And what's the one that they called us that were outside of the boomers and before the millennials?
The Joneses.
The Jones. The what are they called?
Generation Jones.
Generation Jones. Thank you, Josh Soroka. Yes. The young man's brain working overtime.
Who is
here,
not in Generation
playing the videos
Jones.
For us. What?
He is not in Generation Jones. And yet he knows
I am a Generation Jones.
Yeah, but Josh is not.
Well, Generation Jones...
I don't need to be in it to know it.
There are many listeners to this show.
I'm sorry. I'm not a very mature person.
There are many people in Generation Jones that can relate to this, and it's not fun. And I'm just here to vent because it's what I do on this show. I get so tired about, well, what do you do? What do you say? Is it politics or sports? Do I have permission the next time that question is asked to say, shut up?
Yeah. Absolutely.
If somebody just generally says to me, is it politics or sports? I can just give them a shut up.
Yeah. Or you could say, actually, mostly we discuss your mother.
Today I just complained about my shoulder for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
You know, throw them completely off.
Yeah. That's neither sports nor politics. Everyone can agree.
You just steamrolled by that because you're trying to protect your friend.
I'm not taking a shot at you.
Shut up. You saw what he was doing.
I know.
In Miami. You saw what he was doing, right? You knew that, and you just decided to gloss over it. So the audience and you can just get right by it and enjoy it, even though he's giving me the dig.
And it wasn't 20 minutes.
I'm not that out of it. Come on now. You're both younger than me, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it wasn't 20 minutes, Josh. Relax.
No, it wasn't.
No.
But that was
what he talked about today. He talked about Mike Tirico today, and that was neither sports nor politics.
I brought three really entertaining videos.
Great videos, exactly.
The Smelling Salts one. Play the Smelling Salts video one more time to break things up with my bitching about my pathetic body. Go ahead and watch this, folks.
I'm excited to try it. I am jazzed about this. I feel like it's going to be a good time. So I'm getting ready to go work out. It says shake it. All right, here we go.
Take a big whiff, honey.
Here you go, honey.
I'm gonna take a big whiff.
Whiff.
I'm not gonna be a little pansy about it.
Uh-oh.
Take a big whiff.
That's not fake. No. Josh, do you think that's fake? I don't think that's fake at all.
She took way too much of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta always play it to the end of this. This is a good message for the kids.
It is.
Come on. Come on. Come on, Shea Bay. Hi, Sharon. I love you.
Oh, dear.
No, it's just a nice little hello to a great listener.
Don't do that.
I don't know which I love more, the reaction of taking the whiff or the complete personality change. That was fun. Yes, I do complain occasionally about my family.
We all
body.
Complain. This show is our platform.
We're all sorts. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I maintain that I will complain about inflation. I will complain about my failing body. I will complain about the state of world affairs. And I will occasionally celebrate individuals like Mike Tirico. It's a show of many colors. It's a show of many
today,
levels.
Today, a celebration of a man called Mike Tirico.
I love Mike Tirico. I do. Yeah. The best in the business.
Do you have a second favorite?
A second favorite sportscaster?
Yeah.
It would probably be a play-by-play guy because analysts are not my bag, man.
You know what? I mean, I know he is truly, truly himself so much, more so now than ever, but Jim Nance, once he gets past his opening monologue, he's pretty good at covering a game, don't you think? Okay. How about that? Mel Allen.
I mean, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put him in my, no. I mean, because the prearranged flowery Masters coverage.
Yeah, but that's his pre-written.
You know, and he's no longer, you know, as active as he was, but Vern Lundquist?
Yeah.
A man of few words? I mean, the best. The absolute what about best. So that would be up there with
Bob Costas with pink eye.
Bob Costas really went from being a sportscaster to more of a pundit.
Yeah.
But when he is on doing some sports stuff, he's really good. But it's just he hasn't done enough of it. There's more of the analyst Bob Costas and the television personality Costas. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
Do you like Joe Buck?
He retired. God damn it, he retired. Doc Emmerich.
Yes.
NBC hockey announcer, the best hockey announcer ever. He's fantastic, too.
And a medical doctor. Did he not know that?
It's sports games. That's what it is.
He could fix your shoulder, Doc Emmerich.
I wonder if he could. No, not Charlie Slows. No.
Mike,
no.
They're just...
Is that the Nationals baseball guy?
They're pimping you to do your Charlie Slows.
Charlie Slows. Not a fan. All right. I have time. No, I don't. I'll try to talk to you about a sad moment in movies later on in the show, but we have a big, thick volume of news, and I'm not going to spotlight this. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Take it from me, it is the best time of year to relax and cozy up with a great bottle of wine. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the world's best independent winemakers so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code TMOS at nakedwines.com and get $100 off your first order. That's six bottles of wine for just $39.99. How do they do it? Naked Wines brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in a store. By cutting out extra costs like middlemen markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. Such a deal! Get the best wine at the best price with Naked Wines. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click enter voucher, and put in the code TMOS for both the code and the password for $100 off your first order. That's six bottles for only $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first six bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS. Just remember to use the code and password TMOS for six bottles of wine for $39.99. Thank you, Rob Spiewak. Thank you, Josh Soroka. Let's get started with our news today where... this is a very, very weird story. The U.S. Embassy in Mexico issued a security alert to American citizens on Sunday to shelter in place until further notice. If they are currently in a Jalisco state, I think it's maybe pronounced Jalisco state, which includes Puerto Vallarta, Chapala, and Guadalajara, Baja California state, also Tijuana, Tecate, and Ensenada, Quintana Roo state, which is Cancun. I mean,
that's the whole deal.
This is such a wide swath. Yeah. Cancun, Cozumel, Playa del Carmen, and Tulum. The unrest reportedly linked to a military operation targeting a powerful drug lord. The Associated Press reported Sunday that the leader of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, Nemesio Azaguirre Cervantes, also known as El Mencho, was killed in the operation. Apparently, this is the biggest guy in the cartels in Mexico. He was killed in the operation. The advisory warned citizens to avoid crowds, seek shelter, and minimize unnecessary movements and monitor local media for updates. Whenever I see this, all I can think of is, well, it's revenge time, and maybe it's going to be unstable there for quite some time.
All hell could break. What does El Mencho mean? Do you know what Mencho means?
He's a mensch.
I was going to say, it's not probably the Yiddish
meaning. He's dead, so I don't know if it really matters anymore. Mm. But, it's when we think of, you've been to Cancun, I've been to Cancun, and I've been to the Baja Peninsula as well. And, you go there into these tourist areas that a lot of Americans visit, and you just don't think of it in terms of going on. And then you see videos of burned buses and people stopping burning cars in the middle of the street. It's very strange.
We honeymooned in Cancun at the Marriott, Mike. Try the Marriott burger. It is a self-contained, you know, unit of entertainment where you stay within the bounds of the Marriott and they instruct you to do so.
Right.
What flipped me out is when we were taking a vehicle from the airport to the Marriott, just people stationed on the side of the road with machine guns. That's it. Yeah. At that point, one of the key vacation destinations of North America, and there's just guns. And I said, how about that? They don't tell you about that in the brochure, but there's a lot of unrest down there.
This is different, though, than previous stories coming out of Mexico. Usually we feel that feeling of detachment with the horrors that go on in Mexico, whereas this time when they're mentioning these touristy areas to, you know, shelter in place is what you normally hear about a hurricane. You don't hear that about a guy, a drug lord that was bumped off, and now it's so unsafe in the streets that people should stay in their hotel rooms.
Yeah, there's lots of fear of American hostages.
Yeah, very, very scary. We'll keep you posted on that. All right, big weather all across the eastern seaboard. A blizzard warning in effect for all five boroughs of New York City, Long Island, and much of New Jersey and New England. A classic nor'easter walloping the area with strong winds and heavy snow. A blizzard warning is issued when there are sustained winds of 35 miles per hour or more, plus visibility of a quarter mile or less from blowing snow. This is going on as we speak. Yes. As we tape this show on Monday morning, the forecast shows 12 to 18 inches of snow expected for the city, for New York City. New York City!
New York City! I hope Paulie Blair Christine is okay, because I know he's back. He's back from another cruise.
States of emergency in effect for New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, as well as the city could be looking at up to 4 inches of snow an hour.
That's
school
crazy.
Closed. Now, what do you hear the D.C. area getting? I don't know how far this goes south. I'm not sure.
I think that when I went to bed and I didn't check in this morning because they're not up, 6 inches was what was called for at my house. They closed schools today in Loudoun County yesterday afternoon. So there's no chance of Carrie being awake right now because she
school will be
school.
Closed for thousands of students across New England. This nor'easter is bearing down on the region. Dangerous travel conditions all the way up to Maine and down through the mid-Atlantic. Nearly 600 school districts reported closings with the brunt of the storm hitting during the morning commute, which is right now.
Yes.
Schoolwork and other activities will surely be at a standstill. So this is really, even for, you know, eastern areas and northern areas that are used to snow, this is a paralyzing forecast
it's
here.
It's affecting a lot of people. I know that yesterday on the Lanai, a plant got blown over.
Yeah, see, he can't help himself.
No. He can't.
He doesn't understand that he's pissing people off by talking about living in Florida.
He left, two, 3 weeks ago?
You left?
So you didn't have to deal with the cleanup of the last one, right?
I actually did, yeah.
You're becoming a Floridian.
The circumstances
could not suck enough.
I'm a crackpot, and I'm losing my mind. So if I say anything to piss anyone off, send the letters to me here.
Yeah, but even down here... For us, Rob, I don't know what it's like on the East Coast, but for here, temperatures took about a 20-degree dip with all this weather that we're getting. And if you're in the middle of it, stay safe. And, if you're vacationing in Mexico, shelter in place.
It was 87 degrees yesterday, and today I don't think it's going to crest 70.
Such a weird world we live in right now.
That's right.
A lot of buzz about a guy I don't know a heck of a lot about. It's not that I wasn't a fan. I just didn't watch the show. Eric Dane passed away due to ALS. His widow, Rebecca Gayhard, issued a statement on his passing yesterday. Now, we say widow, however, they were separated. However, then they got back when he got... They never really divorced.
Then she's a widow, yeah.
But she issued a statement. She said, quote, "I'm so blown away by the outpouring of love and support from our community. There aren't words to express our gratitude. You are truly holding us up during this difficult time." Also acknowledging Eric's death was his girlfriend, Janelle Shirtcliffe. She posted some pictures and video of the two of them. Now, here's the circumstance here.
All right.
Eric married Rebecca in 04. They have two daughters, 14 and 15. Oh, my heart goes out to kids
that's
that
tough.
Age that are dealing with that. They separated in 2018, but called off their divorce last March after his diagnosis of ALS. In the interview at the time, she said she planned to show up for Eric in order to be a role model for their daughters. And while they've been separated for years, she said they were the best of friends. Speaking of Eric and his daughters, he offered them some life advice for an upcoming episode of the Netflix show Famous Last Words. Have either one of you looked in on that documentary on Netflix?
No, I saw an Eric Dane documentary itself, but not anything that he was part of like that.
He said, quote, "I tried. I stumbled sometimes, but I tried overall. We had a blast, didn't we?" He also said that ALS taught him to live in the present. Here's the quote. "I shouldn't have done this. I never should have done that. No more. Out of pure survival, I am forced to stay in the present, but I don't want to be anywhere else. The past contains regrets. The future remains unknown, so you have to live now. The present is all you have. Treasure it. Cherish every moment." And, yeah, I'm curious. I might be looking at that documentary because it's fascinating that he talks about the very, in some cases, very, very rapid progression of that disease.
Yeah, and it got him real fast. Grey's Anatomy was obviously his big show, but he was very good in Euphoria. He played that creepy dad in Euphoria.
Oh, that's right. He was the creepy dad in Euphoria. So,
Do you think he got back with his wife? Do you think that they called off the divorce for anything to do with insurance? And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to think. I mean, it just seems.
I have no idea. I mean, you don't look. I
know all actors are covered, but
it comes to mind the relationship that Bruce Willis had with Demi Moore. When the S hits the fan, if a breakup has any esteem, and if usually it seems to me this breakup was something where they lived separate lives, but they didn't have tremendous animosity toward one another. I think that was the same way with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I think, no one can walk in anyone else's shoes unless circumstances are there. And would I do the same thing? I have no idea. Nobody knows. And it also has to do with how long
you've been apart.
It
depends on which ex-wife, doesn't it?
What's that?
Depends on which ex-wife.
Well, a death curse puts everything in perspective.
I'm sorry, Josh, I interrupted.
Knowing you're dying puts everything in different perspectives.
And also having
care about little things.
Two kids complicates it, especially for both parents. It's a tough situation.
But maybe life insurance.
Yeah.
You never know. But I don't. The one thing in the Bible I pay attention to: judge not, lest ye be judged. Mm-hmm. And if the girlfriend wants to, post, and the ex-wife wants to post, or even though she's not technically an ex-wife, whatever. They all were going through a very difficult time as well. The speaking of difficult times, the British Academy Film Awards went down yesterday, and while we probably couldn't care too much about them, it's hard to ignore a few explicit outbursts that went down. I don't know anybody that was watching this. Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo were on stage to present Best Visual Effects to Avatar, Fire and Ash.
When Avatar!
Someone in the crowd shouted the N-word at them.
What?
They paused for a brief moment, then carried on. It turns out the shouter was John Davidson, who has Tourette's. He was invited because he was an inspiration for the nominated movie I Swear. He yelled other obscenities throughout the night, like shut the F up during an introductory speech and F you when the directors of Boong won for Best Children's and Family Film. Host Alan Cumming told the audience, quote, "You may have noticed some strong language in the background. This can be part of how Tourette's syndrome shows up for some people as the film explores that experience." Well done, host.
That's the way to
explain
that's
things.
Perfect
well
way to
done
do it. Yeah,
doing
yeah
that. Thanks for your understanding and helping create a respectful space for everyone. He later added, quote, "Tourette's syndrome is a disability, and the tics you've heard tonight are involuntary. The person who has Tourette's syndrome has no control over their language. We apologize if you are offended tonight." And in many cases, even people with Tourette's get it. They get that it's involuntary. I've done benefits for Tourette's, and sometimes they get that it's funny, too.
Yeah.
But at an award show with that, I think what I understand, it can be the most inappropriate thing that comes to mind that you cannot help but blurt out. That's the way the brain works.
And I'm glad you cleared it up, Mike, because when I heard someone shouting the N-word named John Davidson, I naturally assumed it was the guy from That's Incredible. And it's a different John Davidson.
John Davidson! Is he still alive?
Yes, still performing.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Only you would know that fact. Only you would know that fact.
Because he's great.
That he's still, because he's great.
Take a lesson, like Fran Tarkenton. No need to relax.
Is he coming to Miami?
You know what? Probably by sheer luck he'll be
Have
here.
You done any scoping of the entertainment? Because you have now. You are entering into, Rob Spiewak, entertainment season down there.
Mike, I bought my Wayne Newton ticket.
There it is.
And I went to something this weekend that may surprise you.
Very good. Looking forward to hearing about it. Way to go. Let's see. Duncan, as we change topics here. Duncan.
Gross.
You know what? Call them Dunkin' Donuts. Don't give me a story where they just say Dunkin', but that's what they, you know, they're so well known now.
Josh, well, don't you call them Dunkin'?
I thought they dropped the donuts from their name.
Did they? Well, F them. I'm going to call them Dunkin' Donuts.
And you know what else? They should change the name to All the Donuts Taste Like Noxzema. That's what they should call their firm.
Well, this is big news.
News.
They just unveiled a new 48-ounce iced coffee that literally comes in a bucket. They're testing it at a handful of locations, of course, in New England.
Yes.
Each bucket got... One of the funniest Saturday Night Live spoofs I've ever seen.
Would you like to see it?
Yeah, let's take a look at the Dunkin' bucket.
What are you doing to me?
Did I scare you?
It's New England in a freaking bucket. I love it. Listen to that. It's the most satisfying swirl.
All right. Shut up.
Do you know that in Boston, if you want to order that, all you have to do is scream out the N-word, and they bring you one.
That's a little, okay. I'll take that.
That's a little far.
Each bucket, $10.
$10?
Well, a venti iced coffee at Starbucks is 24 ounces. So it's
but Starbucks,
twice that much.
Dunkin' ain't Starbucks.
Buckets
and
of coffee.
And besides, that's overpriced anyway. So forget it.
Buckets of coffee went viral last summer after a smaller coffee shop started selling them. So it's not original. To be clear, the new 48-ounce bucket. I like anything that comes in a bucket.
Yeah, bucket. Sure.
They're not meant to be shared. There's a hole in the lid for one straw. So, yeah. 48. I could knock it back. It was the only thing I was drinking.
I went to the Broward County Dunkin' and I got a bucket of Cruller Glaze. And it's just 48 ounces of goo.
The problem is the container. That bucket's not going to keep that ice cold.
Yeah, no insulation. And also, it's not going to fit in your drink holder.
Well, like, I think my cup, I think this is 40 ounces, and I just carry it throughout the day.
And that's full of Skittles?
That's 30 ounces, right? My Yeti. Yeah.
16.9 ounces?
By the way... Yeti, you know, if you really want to go for it, see where the mark is from the cup holder. See?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, come on now. You can do better. Put something down there that prevents the stain. All right?
That's what you've been saying about this show.
That's fresh out of the dishwasher, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. All right? I don't need to deal with that.
And do you still have the Emerson brand dishwasher?
You, Yeti. Yeti. Speaking of overpriced.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's for those things.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's not clear. The story's continuing. The story that never ends.
Oh, there's more. Oh,
it's
good.
Not clear when they might be available nationwide, but people have already noticed one issue. The buckets, as you guys pointed out, way too big for a cup holder.
Yeah.
So not great for driving.
Do you think anyone that's going to Dunkin' to buy a 48-ounce bucket of coffee really has a car?
You know, you can't drive. I don't know if you'd want to, you know, slur it down with an e-bike. Just my opinion with that. The Department of Transportation in L.A. is being mocked online for a PSA that told people there's no pooping allowed on city buses.
Josh? Josh, remember the last time you were in Los Angeles?
No, but I'll warn Matt.
They shared... Yeah, you're public the bus transit guy. Brother.
He loves public transit.
They shared six ads on their YouTube page. Each one encouraged people to report things like smoking, drinking, playing loud music, and public defecation.
Yeah.
In the pooping ad, someone spots a steaming pile. on the floor of a bus and reports it online. There are also graphics at the bottom that say, no pooping.
You know, on Amtrak, usually the car right after the quiet car is the feces car.
The feces car.
Where and you that just, you can poop in. Yeah.
Yeah. Pinch a loaf over here. Right over here. Go ahead. Finally today, a 58-year-old elementary school teacher in Wisconsin named Lori Laubenstein was arrested after being accused of using cocaine at school. Someone made an anonymous tip about her after people noticed changes in Lori's behavior.
Changes.
Specifically, she frequently went to the bathroom with her purse and left behind, ew, bloody tissues and a white powder.
Gross.
The principal shrugged it off at first, maybe because it's pretty unbelievable, but a school resource officer took the powder to the authorities and it later tested positive for cocaine.
Boo.
Police say she admitted to using cocaine since August and that she's done lines in the classroom and teacher's lounge bathrooms, but she insisted she would never put her students in danger. The investigation is still ongoing, but it's safe to say she won't be teaching anytime soon. True. And it's unfortunate because there weren't any teachers in the school who could grade papers as fast as she could.
God, she was focused.
That is a shame. That's it. We have to say we're stepping aside for just a second here, ladies and gentlemen. But now, are we still going to have music going into our new recorded commercials? Like, are we still having transition, or do I just point at the just camera point. And you say, just point. We're not going to have transition music at all? Because I think that works. I mean,
no, because of the way the audio chain will work, it'll be cut weirdly.
Maybe we can bring back the little drums.
What if I were to play it here?
Same thing.
What if I were to play a jingle here?
You can play a jingle.
And
you want a jingle? But Mike, you never jingle into a commercial.
But we could do like that 7-second drum count we used to have.
I can jingle into a commercial.
Okay.
And all then right. He can play the all commercial.
Right. All right, it's just not. The Michael Mara
Show, TMRS. Folks, I'm not getting any younger. In fact, none of us are. It seemed like energy crashes at 2 p.m. became my new normal. So naturally, I went down to the internet rabbit hole and started Googling symptoms like a hypochondriac. Low T kept coming up. Here's the thing. Doctors act like testosterone replacement therapy is no big deal. Just weekly shots for the rest of your life. Cool. Thanks, doc. Then you dig deeper and you realize what you're actually signing up for. $3,000 a year to shut down your body's natural production forever. Terrifying. So I'm making things easier on my body the natural way. I'm taking Mars Men, a natural testosterone stack that optimizes your body's ability to forge usable testosterone. Mars Men is like hitting the reset button on your hormone factory instead of shutting it down. It gives me more consistent energy, stronger lifts, and better focus. It's a steady drive all day, not the quick spike you get from caffeine or injections. Plus, there's a 90-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Thousands of guys are feeling incredible results. Just check it out. Check out the reviews on the website and see for yourself. For a limited time, TMOS listeners get 50% off for life plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. It's a perfect way to start feeling strong right away. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that TMOS sent you. Let me tell you something, Josh. When you want to get to the top of my hip parade in show prep, you always say anything that says Rob is not a creep is something that I have to go with. I really do. As Josh mentioned, you have been getting out and about and around, and that's a good thing because I would imagine it's a little tough.
It's tight quarters. The mood in the apartment is not great. And one thing that I've found that helps me is if there are any errands to be run, Kathy stays with my dad and I can zip around the neighborhood here and I love it. The weather is magnificent. You roll down the windows, you play the radio. It's really a great cleansing experience for your mind. But I normally stay in the neighborhood. Now, as I mentioned just moments ago, I bought a ticket to see Wayne Newton in a couple weeks at a facility in Fort Lauderdale called the Howard, or the Parker rather. I'm sorry, the Howard is in DC, the Parker. And it's a beautiful, like 1200 seat hall, great acoustics. But obviously, I got on their mailing list, and
you,
I got.
You didn't want to invite us.
Well, wait. I don't think you're going to want to be invited to this. I got a direct email that said, does the name Lori Berkner mean anything to either of you?
I think there was a Lori Berkner in Hughes Hall at American
University.
No,
Mike, that's a different one. That was with the lemon juice. This is a different Lori Berkner.
All right.
She
screamed bloody murder, though.
I bet. So just as
she did,
the Wiggles were the perfect kids performer age block for Robert when my kids were growing up.
Yeah, and they were perfect. Let's not kid anybody. They were perfect for you too. You liked them too.
I saw the Wiggles in concert. It was the last time I went to a concert where I knew all the words. It was a great show.
Rob really did love the Wiggles.
They did a great show.
Did you buy for my oldest daughter, it was also the Wiggles. I know all the songs as well. I'm right there with you.
Chugga Chugga, Big Red Car. Yeah.
Fruit Salad.
Yeah, just yummy, yummy.
Just drop another thing in the Josh Robin Common bucket.
But
our kids are close.
Yeah, and Julia, who is a little older, her act was Lori Berkner, who got sprung to fame because they would do little videos of her songs on the Sprout Network, which was TV for
babies, I remember Sprout. Right? Michael had Sprout.
Okay.
This is kids programming specifically?
Yeah.
Do we have a picture of Lori Berkner? Can we?
Stick around for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll get to
all
of it. I
didn't know you had that prepared comedy.
So we were, I knew all of Lori Berkner's songs. I eventually recorded the songs off of television to make Julia a CD. That was her go-to-bed CD every night for probably a year. So I know all of Lori Berkner's hits.
Hold on. What do you mean my mouth wasn't working with the words? What the hell does that mean, Platon? Platon 10704?
Everyone has a complaint, Mike. Yeah. Platon can kiss my ass.
Shut up, Platon.
I pulled up her top songs.
Okay.
And their songs called We Are the Dinosaurs.
Yep.
The Goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
Bumblebee.
Bumblebee's a strong hit.
Let me just, before you play those, let me just reach into my satchel for a second.
Okay. There,
just in case. All right. There we go. I'm all set.
Oh, you're set? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I got an offer to go to the Parker to see Lori Berkner without a child, just to go see her do her guitar-only show.
Oh, my.
I thought you said this is Rob's not a creep.
Well, I'm not, but I felt like a creep. After I drove to Fort Lauderdale to see Lori Berkner. Now, Mike, you want to see a picture? Here she is. I bought her LP. Oh, I can't really do it because of the green screen.
No, that's not going to work.
Well, there you can see her. That's what she looks like.
Do we have a video of her, Josh?
We will in a moment.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm following along at home like everybody else with your special effects.
I got there and I realized that I was literally, not only the oldest person there, but the only person without a child.
Let
and
me
I could
explain
tell.
Something before you continue.
Okay.
All right? Dude.
Yeah.
You get a free pass. Anything you can do to reminisce about your kids, to find and a little
joy. There was
joy.
A lot. There was and a now, lot of that, yeah.
With with that said.
Right on.
I'm a father, with some small children, and I'm looking, and you're in front of me waiting in the ticket line. I'm calling the police.
Yeah, it didn't look
good. What type of venue is this?
It's like about a 1,200-seat concert hall. You could see a great play with Martha Ray in it.
Lots of kidlings crawling around?
Mike, it was so great because when you looked in the theater, every other seat looked empty because it was grown-up kid. Grown-up
adorable.
Kid, grown-up, it was great. And
adorable.
When they're 2.5, 3 years old and they're seeing their Elvis Presley live, it's fantastic. But I did feel creepy when I sat down and the couple next to me was a lady and her son. And he was, of course, eating a pretzel, a banana, and applesauce because it's a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
Did he share?
She was doing a selfie. And I said, would you like me to take a picture of the both of you?
Oh, no.
She said, no, no, no. 3 times she said no.
Yeah, I would too.
And then
did it hit home at that moment?
That was one of it. And the other time is she does something akin to the sharing and showing of Christ's peace in the show where you're supposed to fist bump like the person next to you. And I was denied a fist bump by a child.
Christ peace?
What does that have to do with a fist bump?
Because, you know, like in church where they stop down and you shake hands with people.
Oh,
you know,
the sign of peace.
The sign of the peace, yeah. And so the fist bump.
How did he put it? It really sounded different.
Can
way
we
he
offer
put that?
Each other the sign of Christ's peace?
Oh, okay.
But that's how my priest said it. I don't know. But I didn't get the fist bump.
In the Catholic Church, we never gave Christ the prompt sign. Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
That you never said Christ's peace?
No, he didn't get it. It wasn't his. It was just peace.
And my church is simply say hi to your neighbor.
Say hi to your neighbor. I didn't have Christ's peace.
Neighbor.
What service are you talking about? What flavor?
Where you? It's Vatican. I go to Vatican 9. Which Vatican are you up to? I got the update this weekend.
No. What are you? Where did they say the Christ?
Saint John's the
Catholic?
Beloved. Yes, pure Catholic.
Man,
and you had
Catholic.
To fist bump the priest.
No. You would actually shake hands. The fist bump was at Lori Berkner's show. It's a proper sign of peace when you're at church. But we're getting
off. Not bringing Christ into it.
No, not at all. No,
that's where you mucked it up. You made it sound like all of a sudden she's a religious person.
Yeah,
I thought
she was doing the sign of the cross or something.
No. But I wouldn't say she's religious or not religious. She's just a wonderful lady. That's what I'd say.
I'm wonderful enough to get you to, hit the road and go. And by the way, I'm 100% support here. I get it.
So I drove into Fort Lauderdale on Saturday.
And she's Jewish. So probably not the sign of Christ.
Christ's peace probably wouldn't be what
doesn't
she would
mean
say.
She can't cater to an audience,
but
Josh.
But she didn't say it like that.
She didn't say it.
I take that back. She converted to Catholics.
Mm-hmm. See, Mike? Christ's peace.
Are we going to see video?
So what I noted is after I was pretty much branded an enemy to all children in Fort Lauderdale, I did enjoy the show. I have two favorite moments for you. Actually, three. Kids are just like grownups because they were so into this concert. I mean, this was really like seeing a true rock star for them. And halfway through when Lori Berkner says, I'm going to do a song off my new album, all the kids went, just like grownups do when they want to plug something off the new album
and
play the hits, Lori. Mm-hmm. So she did that. And then on one of the songs, they launched huge beach balls into the audience for them to play with. And Josh, we have a clip of that. I want you to see the beach balls. I think there was 15 of them that they were bouncing around the theater. And
big fun.
That was great. But
this now makes it better.
Worse.
This story. Just
worse?
Picturing you.
Yes. You.
I never touched the ball. It didn't come to me.
Does this make me a perv now when I'm asking how were the moms?
Stop it, Josh. Mike, Fort Lauderdale moms are okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. Okay.
So the thing I enjoyed most about the ball thing is before she sang the song, she said, now when the song's over, you're going to have to push the balls back forward to the stage. Is that all right? And everyone goes, yay. And they do it. And, but because the kids are so short, I saw no fewer than 30 kids get bonked on the head with a ball were being passed forward.
Nothing painful, It's dislocation.
No. I didn't see any blood or anything.
Jar or something like that.
But the best song, her biggest hit, her Hey Jude, her Satisfaction, is called Victor Vito. And I know all the words, and it's actually in my phone because I like the song Victor Vito.
Okay.
And she closed the show and said, good night, everybody.
Are you sobbing?
Well, no. She actually, Mike, I should say also, because it's a kid's show, curtain was 11 a.m. So it gets to be about lunchtime.
But that works for a 50-year-old, right?
Absolutely.
That's a Miami time.
I'd love to do that.
She leaves the stage, and I'm like, no Victor Vito. Damn it. But the lights don't go up. I said, oh, my God. She's going to encore with Victor Vito. And guess what? She did. And those kids exploded like they were hearing the Foo Fighters launch into Learn to Fly. It was great. Here she is coming out on the encore. Listen to the crowd go wild when she mentions
the name. This is you videoing this?
Yes. Yeah. Check this out.
Are we going to hear you scream?
No, I did not scream because I knew that I would probably.
A few more minutes. I do have a little medley of some of the songs I didn't get to in the set today. Because I'd love to start off with this song about my friend Victor Vito.
I love Rob. I really do.
Vito and Freddie Vasco ate a burrito with Tabasco. They put it on their rice. They put it on their beans. On their rutabagas and on their collard greens.
Hey, Victor. Hey, Freddie. Let's eat some.
That's enough, Josh.
In the world, ever doubted.
But
this man's sweetness, I think that we have proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt, ladies.
To look around
and
see I mean, really, it reminded me of when my son Robert saw the big red car at the Wiggles show.
For any of you that were at that show, you are dealing with the furthest thing from a creep you will ever find, in my humble opinion. That is about as sweet as it gets.
How hard was it for you to not yell out the callback?
Pretty hard. I'm pretty conditioned. But I did buy an autographed album. And just so you know, the things are really right back on course. Before I even got back from Fort Lauderdale to Aventura, Florida, I got a text from Carrie that says, "Don't buy records."
You know what? God love you. I hope you had a great time. That's
I did,
cool.
Mike.
Keep that up.
Smiled for an hour and a half.
You're in a big city with lots of weird entertainment, and you're going to have that. I think you go see everything you can, as far as I'm concerned.
I had a blast. And also, I recommend it to other creeps. Go see the show.
There you go. That's awesome. We'll take a short one and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a good time to better yourself. It seems like lately everyone's trying to clean up their habits, like Rob. And honestly, having one less drink has never felt easier for him. Instead of pouring a cocktail, Rob has been reaching for Sol's out-of-office drinks. Sol makes feeling good simple. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable feel-good effects. Sol is the alcohol alternative that puts you in control of your mood, and their best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable, calming buzz. From a 1.5 milligram microdose for a gentle lift to 15 milligrams for a deeper, more elevated experience. Josh is a gummy guy, too. He knows it's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next-day regret of alcohol. Stay tuned for a Sol gummy announcement that will change your life. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Sol is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSol.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSol.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. Be a Sol survivor. You know,
I needed to just, Mike, for all the Lori Berkner fans out there, yes, she did a full version of Lori Has a Pig on Her Head, which was great.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Rolando said, I think Rob didn't get bullied enough in high school.
Rolando, actually, I did, to be perfectly honest.
A little recommendation. This has been out for a while, so it's nothing new, but I read good reviews about it, so I decided to dive into what may be the saddest movie I have watched in a very long time.
Bambi.
A movie that was so sad that I carried it with me to bedtime and just was sad. My kid watched about the last quarter of it with me. He was sad. If you're somebody that enjoys sad, now this is a good movie,
yeah,
but it is heavy on the sad. Rob, I would not recommend you watching this film.
Okay, is it Ice Castles?
It is not. It is a movie called Train Dreams. It's all over, I think it's Netflix. I'm not sure, you know.
Anyone recognizable in it? I've not heard of it.
Not really. I mean, you'd recognize the lead. He's been in a lot of different stuff.
Joel Edgerton.
What's that?
Joel Edgerton.
Joel Edgerton is the lead. He's the Grainier. That's the name of his character's last name. If I can give you the synopsis, by the way, I should point out also that this is a recommendation.
Okay.
I am recommending this movie.
And
but
it is on Netflix.
Do not watch this film unless you want to be sad. First of all, he's an orphan. He's abandoned.
When does it get sad? That sounds funny. Kids out on their own, that's a funny thing.
As he grows up, he takes work as a, well, I don't want to call it a lumberjack. That immediately puts the comedy thing on it.
That's fun.
He's a tree cutter. You know, he goes out
into
the
deep forest. Oh, he
doesn't
work in
the
mill. He actually cuts
the trees. He goes out on crews and works in the woods.
Is it a period piece or does he have modern equipment?
It skirts the olden days to the industrial age.
Okay, good.
Right up until the 1960s. That's okay. So in the olden days, he's got the the handheld tools, and he cuts the sad trees down, out with the sad crew, out in the sad woods. Then he meets a woman who is not sad. And he meets her at a church, and they fall in love.
Do they offer each other a sign of Christ's peace?
They do. I'm sure they do. A little more than that, actually, because
look out,
they make a baby. And,
that's not sad.
But here's the thing. She's not sad. The life they build together is not sad. But he still has to go out into the woods to work. Yeah. So he leaves for long periods of time. Now, that's sad.
That is
right?
sad. That is and sad. While sad, he's out right? in the...
What?
Sad, right?
Sad. So it's always sad. And he goes, like, during the movie, multiple times, back and forth. Always sad. Sad, yeah. sad, sad. Yeah. Then you'd think, well, at least when he's out with the boys in the woods cutting down trees, he's, with a rough... No, that's sad, too, because the people on these crews, especially the older guys, the old men, sad. It's all they do and all they know. Sad. Sad, sad. And then some
is
of them
is it happy
die.
When he comes home, though?
It's happy, but he always has to leave again. Sad,
so there's
right?
an ass. Sad.
Super
so there's
sad.
An asterisk even when he's happy.
Train Dreams. That's the movie. Sad Woods. And sad when the old men in the woods occasionally die for a variety of circumstances.
Do they leave them in the woods? Or do they bury them? What do?
They bury them in the at least the one
yeah,
group.
That's the saddest way.
The saddest way was when
oh,
they.
Oh, I think cremation would be sadder.
I think at one point three guys died because of an accident out in the woods, and they buried all three in sad graves in the sad woods that were hit by the sad trees.
What was the accident? A tree falling on them?
It was sad.
That's sad.
Let's see. Sad. And, yeah, they occasionally die, and then.
They occasionally die.
On his way, he leaves, and of course, it's sad again.
Yes.
And he makes his way back home after maybe one of his friends died. And when he gets off the train at home, there's a big forest fire happening right where he lives. And he loses his wife and his child, which is about as sad as it gets. There's really nothing quite as sad, right? And it continues the rest of the movie.
This movie sounds horrible.
Yeah. About halfway through the movie, they talk about him and his baby. And he would look back on this time as the happiest days of his life. And I'm
that
like,
is sad.
No. Well, you know, that's not all that happy. So I think this is going to get sadder. You know,
what about 25 minutes in when he loses his keys? That was sad
Lyric
too.
Writes my review for the that they could use on the poster. Train Dreams, the best sad movie you'll ever see. Mike O'Mara,
sad,
very sad. And then he's like hallucinating that he sees his wife and sad.
Oh, hallucinations are the saddest.
The murders. There's a murder. There are a couple of murders that happen
spoiler
out
alert.
On the work. Right. Crew too. Yeah, there's a lot of sadness.
By him?
No, he has nothing. Well, he's a witness and doesn't do anything about it. So that he lives with that, which is
that,
so sad.
That is sad when you have to live with something like that.
Very sad.
You know what would have helped him if one of those times he just took a week off and went and saw Lori Berkner.
On that note, that's great. Train Dreams. And then he dies.
Oh, well, now I don't even need to watch it.
No big spoiler alert. It goes all the way from, like, the 1900s to the 68s, you know? So very, very sad.
He never saw anyone land on the moon?
Never. Sad. He did see somebody orbiting the moon.
And that doesn't
orbiting
count.
The Earth, rather. Orbiting the Earth.
Doesn't count.
And he walked away because he was sad.
Didn't he throw his axe at it?
No. He didn't have the axe with him. He was in town.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's very sad. Train Dreams. Check it out. We'll be right back, everybody. There it is.
Do you ever stop and wonder if any modern-day idiots walk among us during these desperate times? Well, they most certainly do. They're the dorks who gladly listen to the free show Monday through Thursday without being a part of the TMOS bonus show family. This is rude behavior, to be sure. But do we hate you? No. We just wish you all the joy that comes with unfettered access to all the TMOS content. Because better access means more fun. You deserve more. Like our state-of-the-art TMOS extras. Fun and unpredictable extra content that you won't get anywhere else. Or sign up for commercial-free TMOS, which also includes the bonus show every week. Remember, your bonus subscription is the power behind everything TMOS. So when you grab that bonus subscription, you're making sure
sure all the great stuff keeps on a-coming. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeOMaraShow.com. Get on it! Grip it! Rip it!
Okay.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
How's the weather?
77 WABC brings you up to the minute reports from the ionospheric weather checker.
Mike, the ionospheric weather checker says that there was a cold snap in Florida a few days ago.
Yeah, and
I've been meaning to play this. Been meaning to play this tape for a while. You like pizza, right? Pizza's good.
I love pizza.
Sure. Would you like to find the most Florida pizza you could ever imagine?
Sure would.
All right, Josh, let's look at that.
Temperatures drop across the area, so do the iguanas. They fall out of the trees.
That's right, and with this most recent cold snap, a video went viral.
These two.
And an unlikely pizza was created.
Yeah, our Katie Benty is over in North Palm Beach today with that story.
This might be the most Florida story I've ever covered, turning an invasive species into a pizza topper.
She had braces.
Now, it sounds like a joke, but trust me, it is
I think
not.
So.
We came right to the source here at Buck's Coal Fire Pizza in North Palm Beach and spoke with the men behind this viral iguana pizza.
Gross.
Yo, I need an iguana pizza now.
And just like that, a very Florida idea turned into a viral sensation, racking up millions of views overnight.
Ew.
We met up with the man behind the camera.
This guy.
Scaredo, a South Florida content creator and iguana catcher, right where it all started, at his friend's restaurant, Buck's Coal Fire Pizza.
Great sign.
In North Palm Beach.
We had this amazing idea, and we were not expecting it to blow up like this.
But they call it the Everglades pizza.
Gross.
Iguana, venison, alligator, bacon.
Fresh out of the oven and topped with iguana meat, he collected.
That's enough, Josh.
Cold snap.
If you order six of them, you get a hat that says asshole.
Well, they've also they have canceled the pizza because they've gotten so much hate.
Oh, okay. So that was a thing of the past. I'm sorry the clip was a week old, but I want you to know that it did happen.
Well, listen, protein is protein is protein, but I would be curious. There are gator bites down here where alligator is consumed down
and
here.
And it doesn't taste like anything. It's no big deal.
No, I'm not a fan. It has enough of a flavor where I don't care for it. I really don't. It has
very
a,
chewy.
Yeah. Do you remember when we did the bit, Rob, where we got the guy that came out
with exotic meats?
Exotic meats with like snake and stuff. I don't like reptile meat of any kind. I don't. So I don't know if the iguana would
be
taste the same.
You
way.
Would be a mess on Naked and Afraid.
Really? Yes. Do they eat a lot of reptiles on Naked
and
Afraid?
Anything they can catch. Yeah,
their dong is hanging out.
Yeah, and there's always that weird sexual energy. Kathy likes the show, so I've been watching it. I don't like the weird sexual energy between two pretty ugly people.
Yeah.
Just running around naked.
It's gross, right?
I don't like it. I don't care for it.
Gross, right?
Right? Sad, right? Mike, here's a question that will ask you to think back. Do you remember probably 20 years ago, a survey was done around the United States about the most recognized people in the United States? Mm-hmm. I think that number one was the president. Do you remember who the second most recognized person in the United States
was? How long ago was the survey done?
Probably 20 years ago. It goes back to the days of the afternoon show.
Most recognized.
And it became sort of a key magic word for us when we got a certain kind of listener.
So it's was it Jerry Springer?
Mike, the answer we're looking for is Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
And Mr. Clean, let's go with the retirement clip. Don't be fooled, America.
Yeah, he's not retired.
It's true. Mr. Clean has announced his retirement. After a career with zero stains on the record, he's ready for new adventures.
All right, that's enough. It's obviously fake.
I like it when he cuts that short. Yeah. That's worth putting it on so you can just cut it off. Screw you, Mr. Clean.
Mike, I think what we need to remember are the golden days of Clean when he had his own jingle. Sing along if you know the words, folks.
Okay.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls,
this
white
guy.
Sidewall, tires, and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs, he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry, too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Oh, wait a minute. He played that for me. I've been waiting to use this all day.
Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean it?
Oh, Mr. Clean, you knocked his earring off.
Mr. Clean.
I don't know who that person is, but I sure do know Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Look at him. He ain't got no hair at all.
Mr. Clean. Get my refrigerator clean, Mr. Clean.
Clean my old golf balls, Mr. Clean.
I got fingerprints all over my refrigerator. Clean it. Clean it good.
Out in the Midwest, I think they know that.
Before Mr. Clean, I only have one way to clean my refrigerator, you know?
Yeah, what was that?
I licked it.
No, don't lick your fridge. Mr. Clean will stop that. Mr. Clean.
Clean.
Clean. Mike, in the Midwest, they know one of the most effective ways to get their advertising message across is to use kids. Everyone loves kids in a commercial. So let's see. Let's close with this, Josh. Robinson Truck Repair. Let's see how they use their kids in this spot.
The prick and your truck's gone to shit. We can help you with your truck.
You got small balls and your truck just stalled. We can help you with your truck.
Maybe you own a trailer and your brakes are failure. We can help you with your trailer.
So get with us here at Robinson Truck and Trailer Repair if your truck's gone to shit and your boss is a prick. You can call us at 515-726-9144.
That's sometimes what you do. Wow. Sometimes you just got to do that, Mike.
That's safe for work commercial. No. Fantastic.
Robinson Truck Repair. Ask for it by name.
Finally, somebody uses their kids. By the way, they all, but it's the internet age. They all, look, they did it in my day too. But the, you know what? Those kids, potty mouths, right?
Yes.
Get Michael ready. We've got pre-recorded spots now.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. We're going to get him in here. Oh, my God.
You
fantastic.
Know, I think I did a fake bleep spot with Robert when he was six where I would have him say words like truckin'. I wonder if I still have that.
If you have, we can reprise that and, you know, make our little breaks more entertaining. By the way, I loved every minute of it.
Good fun today.
I think it's going to be very good. I feel as though the weight of the world.
Not sad.
Hey, Josh Jaroka, please tell the audience. I had nothing to do with this. This was your thing.
It is.
I don't need that crap. Okay? If you do that, I'll send you a dead iguana. We got to get out of here.
Gross.
We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Josh Jaroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Hey, keep it cool.